What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Donktober 7th, 2020, a Wednesday, which means I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the Rogue One at Gary Whitta.
Hello, Greg. How are you, sir?
I am excellent, Gary. How are you?
Good. I'm going to turn down the color temperature on my light because it's making me look very warm.
Well, you're doing that thing, too, where you're opening one eye, like you're staring right into the purple sun or something.
I mean, it's giving me this, like, Trumpian orange face that I really...
Sure.
It's not a good look for me or for
anyone.
That's
not the style you want.
No, very much.
Yeah, don't worry about that. All right, Gary, it's been 1 week since I saw you. We actually had two in a row, back-to-back, Kinda Funny Games Daily. How are you feeling today? Are you ready to talk about some video game news? Are you excited?
Absolutely. I'm in an uncharacteristically good mood this morning. I'm ready to deliver some nuclear hot takes. Let's go.
That's my favorite thing is like right now it's like, you know, of course we just reviewed Batman Forever in review on youtube.com/kindoffunny. The Two-Face coin has been flipped, and I saw in the chat as we hit start, Gaming Demaxinator says, hope for some positivity from Gary today. And that's the wild card with Gary Whitta. Is he going to be a good Gary or bad Whitta?
Is someone suggesting that I'm not, that my default mode isn't positive? I always try to look on the bright side.
You have that British sense of positivity, which isn't like the overabundance, you know what I mean?
I call out the bullshit when I see it.
I can't wait for your takes on today, ladies and gentlemen. Today we're going to be talking about we've seen inside the PlayStation 5. PlayStation trophies are getting an overhaul, and we have some Super Nintendo World news because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Give us your questions, comments, concerns, everything under the daily video game sun. Of course, on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can support us and get each and every episode of Games Daily ad-free. You can get it with the exclusive post show we do only on Patreon. And like I said, be in the show, be a Patreon producer, take care of yourself, get the exclusive Patreon show, Bless Way. There's a whole bunch of different things going on. However, if you have no bucks tossed our way, it's no big deal. You can watch us record the show live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, right now, just like Mr. Shago is, Indrux12 is, Spidey Sense is, why not, first off, toss us a sub. If you have Amazon Prime, you have Gaming Prime, which gives you a free 30-day subscription to a channel of your choice. But of course, remember, you have a special job on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. You need to go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe each and every weekday. Some housekeeping for you. Number one, had a rock in my eye in the middle of that intro. Did it slow me down 1 second? No way, Gary. Portillo could climb up here right now, take a spoon, take out my eye. I'd keep podcasting. Housekeeping for you. We played Among Us yesterday. It was my first time playing Among Us. You can catch this star-studded Let's Play featuring Sancho West, Andrea Renee, Lucy James, Fran, all of Kinda Funny, on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames right now. Also, Gary Whitta's best friend Jeff Keighley came on We Have Cool Friends yesterday. You can get that on youtube.com/kindoffunny. And, of course, the We Have Cool Friends podcast feed, wherever you get your podcasts. Fascinating conversation about what it's like to plan the Game Awards in 2020. How Jeff got all these PlayStation 5 scoops that even Sony didn't talk about, and why Gary Whitta is his best friend.
Hard pass.
Thank you to our Patreon producers, James Davis, at James Davis Makes, Blackjack, and Tom Bach. Today, we're brought to you by Upstart, Quip, and Brooklinen, but I'll tell you about them later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. For some news, we got four items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen!
Wow, that was like Sega. You did like in the Sega voice. Sega! You know, Kevin, he's like a ghost. You can't call him out when you want him. I've been watching a lot of horror movies and Conjuring.
Kevin's not a performing monkey, Greg. He's not going to just do things that you want him to do. The way that he keeps it fresh is he does it when you least expect it. He's not
now, Gary, hold on.
I'm on fire. I'm on fire. I mean, that's what Reddit's
Kevin
saying.
is in rare form as well,
well
today.
Here's the thing, show. Gary. I don't know if you're aware. I think this might be your first show since we've instituted the gold star policy. Is that correct?
What is the gold star policy?
So if Kevin can earn 25 gold stars in the month of October, I'm going to throw him a pizza party.
This sounds remarkably similar to a scheme we currently have working with our 8-year-old at home.
Is it Book It? Oh, because I'm basing it on Book It, the old Pizza Hut program.
She does chores and she gets merits. And if she, you know, depending on how many stars and things she gets to do fun things like, you know, have like family movie night and pizza night and stuff like
that.
So
okay.
If it works on my kid, my guess is it'll work on Kevin.
It'll work on his kid.
Right now, Kevin has 6 gold stars. Of
I think
course,
it's 7.
MooBot keeping
that seems
us in
wrong.
And I'm telling you what, MooBot, how can he earn gold stars? What kind of
the hosts
he...
give them out? The hosts,
Gary,
give
you can give me a gold star
arbitrary?
For being a voice. Thing.
He's a co-host. He's a co-host. Well, I don't know if Gary can just.
Well, this is very interesting. Do I have the authority to give gold stars?
Gary, here's the thing. You can prove you have the authority by giving me a gold star right now. You know what I mean? And no one is going to fight you.
Here's what I'll say on a provisionary basis. Here, I will give Gary, somebody in your chat, keep track of this. I'm giving Gary 2 gold stars right now to give out as he sees fit. They don't expire on this show.
Oh, wow. You're going to ration them to me?
Oh, I want to see how you use them and how you, because I don't need you giving
them
24.
Wisely.
You know what I mean? I don't need just going crazy. So you've been given 2. I've given you 2.
Gary,
to see
don't
how
let
you
him bully
them,
into can you I, not give me the love
them,
I deserve.
Could I keep them themselves? Could I keep them myself or award
sure,
them?
Sure, but
myself?
They're going to expire at the end of October.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. Maybe okay. What kind of rewards could I get? Could I redeem?
I haven't thought that. I'll buy you if
no,
you
no,
can get.
No, this isn't how this works. You get away from my goddamn
number one
pizza
on the
party.
Roper Report. Number one on the Roper Report. Over on the PlayStation blog and on the PlayStation YouTube channel, they've put down a PlayStation 5 teardown. This is a 7-minute video of them taking apart the PlayStation 5, talking about all the aspects of it, and really just showing you how this thing works. Kevin, I put in an overall link to the YouTube video. If we can look at that while I read from the PlayStation blog's first post about it, and then I put some highlights in there to get back to you. So reading from the PlayStation blog's accompanying article, I thought these 2 paragraphs were interesting. We felt it was inevitable to make a generational leap in terms of performance in order to deliver a new next generation gaming experience. However, to do so, we had to balance every aspect of the system, from focusing on reducing the noise level to enhancing the cooling capacity more than ever before. We've also highlighted the mechanism in the video below that we've incorporated into the PS5 console to make the operating sounds even quieter. After an extensive and complex trial and error process, we were pleased with the end result, and I cannot wait to hear fans give their hands-on impressions of the PlayStation console and, quote, hear it for themselves. So, Gary, as we go through this, you see it's starting to cut around it. If Kevin, can you go back to the very first shot of this man with the PlayStation 5? There you go. Just give me a wide shot of this thing. All right, so PlayStation 5 teardown. It's going to fade in here. You got to hit play, Kev. It's paused. This is just a white screen. There you go.
Pause it.
Gary, look at how fucking big this thing is.
That's a big fucking thing. You know what I mean? That's a
Gary,
big old boy.
Look at that. I'm getting hot and bothered by this thing. It's indecent and I love it.
Size does matter, Greg. And I'm sorry, but lol. We all knew it was going to be big. We've seen these renders. We've seen these comparison, you know, speculative images. And people have said, oh, you know, but, you know, surely it's not this or that. It's not that big. I always said, like, we need to see it, like, really, like, I need to see someone holding it, or we need to see it in the flesh to really get a sense. And now we've seen it. My God, that is, I'm sorry. You know, I'm not anti-PlayStation. I have 2 of them on pre-order. I'm very excited about, you know, Miles Morales.
A full time out. If someone's going to look at this and tell you that is not an enormous system, they are on another planet of what they're looking
at. It's I'm sorry, but it is. I think this is something that I'd like to think that all of us can cross these tribal lines here. And even the most hardcore PlayStation fan would surely be willing to admit that thing is comically large. Comically large. It's funny. How big it is.
I agree with you 100%. But here's my thing about it. Do you care? Like, do you look at that and like, oh my God. Like, I think it's comically large. Yes, it's humongous. And I showed it.
I woke up this morning and I saw that on my Twitter feed. Leah was kind of like half awake next to me. She has been concerned about it because, like, she doesn't want this big, giant, ugly thing in the living room. And I said, oh, you know, you've been concerned about, like, how big it is? Well, here it is. And she looked at it and she just made this sound. It was just this like groan, just like, oh, like she was not thrilled. I mean,
yeah,
it's going to be a real issue for a lot of people in terms of, will it fit, you know, in my little sad little IKEA cabinet and things like that. I think people are going to have real issues in terms of how they're going to display it or orient it, because it is massively, massively big. A lot of these pre-made IKEA cabinets and things like that, the holes in them, the compartments are cut for, you know, what has always been the standard size for electronics. And I honestly think it's going to, this is just not going to fit in a lot of cabinets, and people are going to have to do something else with it.
Now, to that line of thinking, isn't Xbox in the same, in terms of, they're making a console outside of the normal form factor, aren't they in the same ballpark of it? I know when I got the Xbox Series X here, that was my first thing. I was like, oh, I'm going to lay it horizontal. That's obviously how my entertainment system set up. And there was that moment of gliding in of like, oh my God, is it going to fit through the opening? And it did, but it's like flush now with like the,
I mean, they're very, it's hard to tell because they're very different form factors. You know, the Series X is like, is more kind of boxy and cuboid. And the PlayStation 5 is more like long and tall and sleek, yeah, but just very, very big and wide. So I don't know if anyone's done the math on this in terms of like just simply by volume, which one is bigger, regardless of, you know, how the dimensions are configured. My sense is, Greg, given the comparative size of the two things, because we have now seen them next to one another, the PlayStation 5, I think, is inarguably quite a lot larger. And given
that, have you seen them next to each other? There was that render going around of them on the table, but it was a digital version of the PlayStation 5 there.
I think I've seen a couple of pictures of them side by side that I think, you know, are fairly accurate. But even just, okay, just looking at like, you know, a picture of you holding the Series X and then this guy with the PlayStation 5, you can put the two things together and I think make a fairly accurate guess that the PlayStation 5 is quite a bit bigger than the Series X. Given that they're roughly comparable in terms of performance, if anything, the Series X is more powerful than the PlayStation 5. There's lots, you know, lots of different things where the PlayStation 5 maybe does this a bit better, Series X does that a bit better. Again, they're not massively different in terms of performance. I've got to conclude, given the two sizes and how they've both approached the airflow and the cooling, and because that's really the defining factor,
right,
that the Series X is just better engineered because they've got two systems of roughly the same power. Microsoft somehow managed to get it into a box that is not comically large. PlayStation 5 went with a box that is comically large.
I think the Xbox box is comically large.
I thought it was until I saw the PlayStation 5.
I mean, that's a bigger joke. It's a better joke, is all I'm saying.
The size and format of the Xbox Series X is amusing. The size and dimensions of the PlayStation 5 is hilarious. There's a difference.
So one of the things that's interesting about it, and Kevin, just let it play. You're doing a great job here. Not gold star yet, but you're doing a great job. Obviously, we're going through ports. We can talk about that in a second. But I think it's interesting you bring up the heat. And right now, as we look at it, they're talking about the air vents and how the entire back is vents. This is the big thing that they're talking about in this video, is that the PlayStation 5 is this big of a machine, right, to better balance the fan, which we're about to, or actually after this we'll see the fan, to balance the fan, to get the air moving, to cool the unit. And then they show some dust catchers. If you could jump to that, Kevin, that's at 234. Obviously one of the big complaints about PlayStation 4 is how goddamn fucking loud the thing is. You can look through my Twitter feed, Tim's Twitter feed, Gary's Twitter feed. You see us talking about how it sounds like our jet's about to take off. So in the shot before this, we saw the giant fan. Here you see him pointing at these dust catcher vents. Now, the idea being there, as he says in this video, the fan obviously moving the air, sucking it in there, you pop off the top and you can just vacuum out these holes, even though there is a disclaimer at the end of the video that says it doesn't guarantee it catches everything. But it is nice to see them taking to heart the biggest complaint I think so many of us had with the PlayStation 4 is how fucking loud it is, and cooling it and keeping it that way. They talk in here, they get into the more the heat sink chips, this, that, the other. This is the expandable storage. We'll get to that in a second. But I like the fact that the PlayStation 5 is built with the idea. Oh, no, actually, they're going to eventually go into the Blu-ray optical drive here, too. The super quality HD, whatever. And to show you how it's double insulated so you don't hear the disc spin either. It does seem that this generation, or for these consoles, on top of the loading, the other thing people have complained a lot about is that these consoles sound so goddamn loud, so that they're going in and addressing that. Now, what's interesting, Gary, now, you know, I do want to preface that this did not make the Roper Report as news. it's from other friends in the industry who have the Xbox Series X. Did you see this yesterday? People talking about the heat coming off of the Xbox Series X on Giant Bomb, on one of the podcasts it got talked about. And then a couple of other people did that. They all got put together in a Video Games Chronicle article talking about, hey, the Xbox Series X gets as hot as a chimney, and that the expandable storage on the back gets super hot. And it could, it's, I think one of the quotes was it could, it was like it could heat a flat. That was it. Now, you're talking about engineering and if the Xbox Series X is better engineered of it. No one has the PlayStation 5 other than Travis Scott, who has a burger as well. Nobody has the PlayStation 5, so there's no way to talk about if this cooling system works, how quiet it really is in your house, how it's going to be after years. In the same breath for Xbox Series X, I have an Xbox Series X under my TV right now. I've been using it. They were even saying it was hot in standby mode. I went over today and touched my unit in standby. It was...
You touched your unit.
It was quiet. It was cold as hell. And when I play the game, I'm playing on the couch. I have not felt any heat coming off. So yada, yada, yada. I wanted to put that out there. Not for this argument. Definitely not to say one's right or the other. But in terms of it'll be interesting going forward if the PlayStation 5, yes, is a giant fucking birthday cake size unit, but if it actually does stay cooler than the Xbox, or if this Xbox thing is just very specific cases that have had it and not it. Because again, I have not experienced that, but again, full disclosure, playing last night, I didn't walk over and put my hands by it. But
yeah, listen, some things we'll only know the answers to after they've been out in the wild for several months. I mean, what if the Series X ends up fucking, a bunch of them end up red ringing because they didn't get the thermal right? I mean, we don't know yet.
Totally, and that's the thing going forward.
We're going by what we know now. It's sound, and which is just the look of the thing, and sure, and some limited exposure. You know, hands on with the Series X. No one's got a PlayStation 5 yet. Again, all of this information is coming, and more clarity will be forthcoming as soon as PlayStation steps up and starts chipping some units out to people to get hands on with. I'm sure that will happen very soon. And again, it may well be that PlayStation ends up winning the day here. If, you know, a year from now, people are complaining about their Series X sounding like a leaf blower and the PlayStation 5 being whisper quiet, congratulations, PlayStation, you won that battle. And maybe it turns out that having a comically large box, a massive heatsink and ridiculously large fan in order to solve the noise and the cooling problem, if that ends up being the way to go, we'll all go, well done, Sony. But right now, today, what we're talking about is the size of this thing.
100%.
And it is hilarious.
Now, two things I do want to jump back to in the video, Kev. If you want to go to the ports, that's at the 38-second mark there. I have a hyperlink for you, but you're also doing a great job, Kevin. I'm very proud of you. I think it's interesting taking a look at what they have with the USB-C to USB-C, because obviously the controllers are USB-C. They show here when they get into the ports that, hey, right there, yeah, we have a USB-C and then a USB Type-A right there. If you let it go, Kevin, they do a little like graphic coming off of them or whatever. So this is off the front of the unit, which, again, this is stuff we've seen in screenshots, but it's nice to see it actually broken down. So USB Type-A port there. And then in the back, two more USB-A ports, right, Kev? If you let it play just a little bit further. Then Type-A. And then the Ethernet there, HDMI, and then power. Somebody pointed this out, interestingly enough to me, no optical out on this unit this year. And I saw somebody in our questions not freaking out, but being like, whoa, every gaming headset uses optical. Like, it's crazy that this one doesn't, and I'm going to have to, you know, I have all this Astro equipment. How am I going to hook it up?
Well, Astro just sent me an adapter. And for the A50s that I'm using right now, because the base station uses optical and the PlayStation 5 doesn't support that. Again, I don't know how user friendly a lot of that stuff is going to be. There's no adapter required for the Series X, but Astro sent me an adapter specifically for the PlayStation 5 compatibility on the Astro headsets that I'm wearing right now. So yeah, I think for some headsets that are using optical, people are going to have to invest in a dongle as well, it looks like.
Now, the other interesting thing, we don't need to see it, Kev, but I do want to, we're basically going to pick right up there with the stand removal. So if you leave it where it was paused. The other interesting thing is you look through there, of course, no PlayStation camera port to go in there, which of course isn't shocking if you've been paying attention to the minutiae. The new PlayStation camera doesn't use the weird, stupid optical thing. You imagine it's going to be USB-C or USB like it always should have been. And if you remember, your PlayStation VR stuff works with PlayStation 5, and PlayStation has said that if you want to use your PlayStation 4 camera on the PlayStation 5, there's going to be an adapter you can get that they're going to have more details on soon, but still no hard details on that.
I know. Have you ever used an optical cable? I know some audiophiles really like them, but I've never used one.
The only time I've used optical cables were a long time ago, and I think it might have even been PS3 and a little bit of PS4, but it was for an Astro headset, and it was for an old soundbar I had, where I had it connect to the PlayStation and then into the soundbar that way.
We use optical cables heavily for bringing it into our audio system, so that's going to be a fun challenge, you know, at work, whenever we get back.
Kevin, if there's something I know, it's that Kevin Coelho can fix anything, and he'll get around this.
Yeah, no, I'll figure it out. That's true, but still, yeah, you know what I mean.
I hear you.
I wonder if the Astros, we can then pull optical out of them because they have an optical out, in which case we could get whatever dongle Gary keeps bragging about and then get optical out of that.
I'd love to brag about all my dongles.
Yeah, you do.
I see you on there with the, I got these Astro earbuds. You're all over the place. You know what I mean?
I actually have it here. I should have grabbed it for the show. I could have done a show and tell.
Kev, pop back up. This is the stand removal. This is, we're going to get, I have a section here of in come the dunks, people dunking on it. But here's this is the removing. You have to have the stand to stand the PlayStation 5 up the right way. The stand comes included, by the way. I think one of those nifty things as they go through it here, the way they've engineered this, right, of as they talk about taking the stand off and then the screw that would go into the base of it sliding in here, popping in, then you pull out this little nub that you put into the hole that would have been on the bottom. But then even to, and this is something we knew again looking at images of it, having them spell it out, don't show you how, then you have to switch the stand to horizontal mode and clip it on the sides here and then put down there. So you shouldn't can't put the PlayStation 5 horizontal without the stand. Otherwise, obviously, because of the weight distribution / design, it's going to be all seesaw on you.
The stand is clever in that, I have a couple of thoughts about this. First of all, sure, I don't like the there's a screw. I think is this the first console that's ever been released that out of the box you're going to need a screwdriver to do basic shit with? If so, that's not great. Having said that, I do like the little solution there that they have with the little rubber nubby and the little sliding secret compartment that allows you to, you know, put the screw somewhere, because, you know, otherwise, yeah, you're going to lose that screw.
Lose it in 2 seconds.
So I'm glad they've thought that through. But really, screwdrivers out of the box? Come on.
I'm blown away that they're giving you this stand. I feel like PlayStation, don't they make you usually buy the stand?
Yeah, when it's optional.
Yeah.
When it's an optional thing of how you want to put your PlayStation, yes, they'll make you pay for it. Mm-hmm. When you're going to have this box like poof, under your entertainment center sitting there all cockamamie, they're not going to let you do that. They're not going to be a part of that. If you want to, Kevin, if you scroll down to bring on the dunks, if you want to click on, the first one there from Xbox UK, of course, PlayStation, when it revealed PlayStation 4, made a lot of history with the Shuhei Adam Boys video. That's, this is how you share your games on PlayStation. And then just passing the thing going, thanks. Xbox UK put this one up. How to switch the Xbox Series X from vertical to horizontal. And it's just, of course, it's standing horizontal and then, or standing vertically and then standing or sitting horizontally, which is a dynamite follow-up to this video today.
It's a dunk, Greg.
It's a good dunk. It's good natured. I like it. The one thing I will say, and this will not earn me any favor, is that if you look at the Xbox Series X right there on its side, it still has the little stand footy at its base.
Yeah.
It's just permanent. I don't like how that looks. I'm saying that as a man who has... his Xbox Series X that way right there. Because when I sit on my couch and I catch side eye of it, it looks weird to have this stand permanent.
I have the picture.
Kevin's got a photo of my house already.
Sounds like Gold Star performance, you know?
I had wondered if that little circular plate on the bottom there was removable.
Shut up, Kevin. He's giving me a gold star.
We're giving Kev a gold star.
That's why I was talking over it, because I don't like it.
I'm sorry. What were you saying, Gary?
When I first saw that little circular plate on the side and or bottom of the Series X, I had wondered if that was removable. I guess it's not. And you're right. When it's on its side like that, I don't think it looks brilliant. But
for the record,
at least you don't have to fuck around with it. The whole point of, like, this is the point I was making you when we were joking around on Twitter earlier this morning, Greg. The whole point, or at least a big point of consoles over PC gaming, is that yes, PCs are far, far superior in terms of technical ability and range of games and all of that stuff. PCs are superior to consoles in almost every way, except one thing. consoles are, and or at least historically have been, much less hassle to set up and use and play than PCs. That is increasingly less and less the case, because look at this thing now. I mean, this is almost like having a PC in your house. It's roughly comparable to a micro ATX PC tower. It's larger than a lot of Steambox gaming PCs that have been out there. And you know, we haven't even got into the memory. We'll get into that in a second. But like, you know, you're getting out screwdrivers and shit.
For all those people
like to dunk on PCs for gaming, well, get used to it, because you're gonna all you PlayStation fans, you're getting closer to that PC gaming experience, but not in a good way.
It's a stand.
You know the screwdriver part isn't the PC.
Let's talk about the memory.
It's the updates.
Let's talk about the memory.
Yeah, exactly. I don't care. I don't mind. Yeah, the screwdriver on a PC, fine, whatever. It's when I turn it back on, it goes bebop. I need a driver. It just fucks everything up. You know what I mean? Look at you, Gary. You were fucking Driver City before this. You couldn't even get connected. You know. Anyways, we digress.
I was updating my graphics drivers, and I didn't even have to restart. It was easy.
Yeah, whatever. You know what I mean? No. I do want to bring up. Yeah, you brought up storage expansion. If you want to jump to that, Kev, 251 in the video. Yeah, of course. We've known for a while that you're going to be able to expand the PlayStation's memory. Oh, this is the dunk. We can start with the dunk if you want. I don't mind. In the video 251, they show how you get in there and you get to where you're going to actually be able to put in the expandable memory. Xbox and who is this? _ Xbox News, so not an official Xbox account, put up this thing of how to expand storage on next-gen consoles, and it's the comparison video of this guy with his screwdriver, the top popped off the PlayStation, going in there, unscrewing where you would put the thing, and then on the Xbox side, just taking the one little terabyte card or whatever and plugging it in the back, which you have to admit is way more easy, yes. But again, remember, the argument here is that with that being proprietary for Xbox Series X, it's already costs a lot. Will the price of the hard drives that you put in a PlayStation 5 continue to come down, yada, yada, yada? Either way, whatever. But it was a funny video. If you want to show the actual video, Kev, if you don't mind, at the 251 mark, you can see this again without the comparison video, this guy going in there, getting underneath there. I didn't put it on here either, like the actual pieces of the console, like the white fins are just, you pull up on one of the corners and slide it off the side. Yeah, here you see where expandable storage will go in, though, for your PlayStation, for your hard drives, and get in there. And you can see up front here then the two shells. Gary, before we move on, I do want to talk about the shells. I have a question about that from one of the readers. What was your take here on the storage expansion?
I think Series X clearly has a far easier solution. You just slot a fucking thing in the back and you're done. It takes 2 seconds. With the PlayStation 5, yeah, again, you're getting the screwdriver out, you're popping off the panels, you're getting into the guts of the thing. I imagine it's not terribly difficult to do, but it's certainly far less easy to do than with the, literally couldn't be any easier with the Series X. So the PlayStation 5 looks like you're fucking around with it a little bit. And again, like when I'm seeing this guy opening it up and messing around with it, it reminds me a lot of PC tech videos that I've watched over the years. It's console gaming is getting more like PC gaming with patches and installs, and you know, they're getting bigger and looking more like PCs in terms of the size and form factor. And now you got to fuck around inside the guts of the things to expand the memory. I don't love it. What do you think?
I think it's easy enough. It's whatever. I mean, it's NVMe, right? So, I mean, there's that whole argument there. It's the price differential. It's whatever that makes me go either way. But it's also, as we've talked about many times, I don't know how much this is going to play into how I game, because it is that thing. Usually I play the game, beat the game, delete the game. Like, I don't worry too much about, you know, what's going on. My PlayStation 4 at launch, the first thing I ever did when I got it back to San Francisco from the event was install a new hard drive in it, which was great for the time. But with my Pro, when I bought that, I've never touched the hard drives or worried about it again. And so it'll be a case-by-case thing as we get going. But I have no plans right now to expand my PlayStation 5 memory. Again, even though there are screwdrivers involved, popping off the top and going in and unscrewing that one piece to then put the hard drive in seems easy enough that if I did want to do it, I wouldn't be worried about it. I've taken apart my PlayStation 5s or PlayStation 4s, trying to get them not to sound like a jet engine again. So whatever. Again, I agree with you. I have eyeballs that it's easier to do the Xbox version of this little thing, plug it right in. But then it is into the tech specs that I'm not of NVMe and all that jazz, and cost and proprietary nature of it, whatever. But like, even with my Xbox, I don't plan to expand. I mean, if we get there and all this is happening and I am playing multiple games of service, or I have, you know, as soon as this they drop this year and we start seeing when I have three or four AAA games on there and a bunch of indies on there, how does that actually net out? Maybe it'll be a different story then. But
I think what I'm seeing right now with all the triggered PlayStation fans in the chat is it's a perfect example of the kind of tribalism that we've been dealing with forever, Greg. I guarantee there's a lot of people right now going, oh, it's only a screw, it's only a screwdriver, you only got to do this. A lot of apologies for Sony going on right now. When it comes to the memory, the Xbox solution, just stick a thing in the back in 1 second and you're done, is clearly, inarguably a better, simpler solution. I guarantee you, if this were flipped around right now and it was the Xbox that required you to open up the case and get in there with a screwdriver, all the Sony fans right now would be having a fucking field day going, lol, Microsoft, you've got to open this thing up with a screwdriver. But because it's their console, oh, it's only a screwdriver. People will make any apologies to support the brand or the political candidate or whatever that they like. We've seen, oh, their soccer team, whatever. We've seen this a million times. I get it. But inarguably, the Xbox storage solution is easier. Way easier than what we're seeing with the PlayStation 5 right now. Come on, get fucking realistic.
That's a fact. I agree with you as the leader of the PlayStation tribe. But no, like, I understand what you're saying. Like, yes, inarguably, it's easier to take this thing and plug it right back in. But yeah, like, I think it comes down to price, performance, and all that other jazz. That, again, I don't know. And it's also, I've seen other people call out today as they've talked about it, you can use external drives on both these, right? You can, and just transfer your games over when you need them. So again, this is cool, but I don't think it's going to be this make or break thing. I'm glad it's there. I'm more interested in the faceplates that you saw get popped off there, Gary. Mama, This is garbage, wrote into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, hello, everyone. Do you think we're going to see the end of special edition consoles for the PlayStation 5 in lieu of special edition face/side plates? The Xbox 360 and new Nintendo 3DS also had removable covers and plates, and I love that bit of customization. But they never really took off in the way I was expecting them to. Partly because the 360 ones looked kind of cheap, and Nintendo seemed to almost immediately ditch the new Nintendo 3DS for the XL model and 2DS. Sorry for being long-winded. Just curious about your thoughts. Thanks, Mama. This is garbage. Mama, this is garbage. That was not a long-winded question. You are fine. Don't worry. Gary, is this the end of special edition PlayStation? Will PlayStation 5's removable faceplates be the end of special edition consoles?
It's a good question. Do you think that PlayStation will get into the business of releasing special faceplates that you can customize? Remember, like how the old 360 used to have that removable faceplate?
Here's what
Sony's going to get into that.
Greg Miller's crystal ball. It is far from the end of special edition PlayStation 5s, especially right now as we are talking about trying to get PlayStation 5s in the hands of consumers. You would assume. I guess it's cross-gen, but let's just, for argument's sake right now, God of War. God of War 2 will have a PlayStation 5 special edition because the market will not be saturated with people who've bought PlayStation 5s. And they know that people are going to be waiting for God of War and they will buy God of War, so we're going to make a God of War special edition console. They will sell the console that way. 5 years from now, 6 years from now, maybe they're only selling the faceplate, but I don't think so. I do think you'll see on the PlayStation Gear Store and in GameStop and all that jazz, there will be PlayStation branded / published faceplates eventually that are selling that way. But I think really who you're going to see is the custom community take off. Custom controllers that you see at PAX, right? Controller chaos, all the places you walk around and you see these amazing controllers done, you're going to see amazing faceplates that people are making and manufacturing. We talk about toasty stickers, the Flaming Toast that has done stuff for us with stickers for consoles, stickers for controllers. Iron Man VR sticker faceplate down there, right? Like I could see, obviously there'll be stickers for your PlayStation, but I could also see tons of people being like, hey, we 3D printed them and now we're painting them and here's some amazing stuff.
Definitely. I think that's actually really exciting. I think that once we have the thing in hand and we pop off those faceplates and everyone's got the exact dimensions of it, you know, including the clips and everything else that you need, it's just a piece of plastic, right? So anyone can replicate it. I think you're going to see third parties getting into that business. I think you're going to see people 3D printing their own faceplates. I think that's a viable option. I think you're going to see some really, really interesting custom designs in the third party marketplace and homebrews. And I look forward to seeing that. That's going to be really exciting.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see what people can do with it. And it'll be fun to see your favorite artists take commissions and stuff for it. Like, you know, think of like Chris Anka, like one of our comic book friend. Like, right, if he's going to start drawing on, if he can buy or get 3D printed faceplates, or even fuck it, take your PlayStation 5 faceplate to a comic convention when you can go to convention.
Oh, sure. Again, yeah. Get it signed.
Get some sketch on that, right? Yeah. That's going to be awesome.
That's a, that's a great idea. Point to PlayStation in that regard. Again, I ultimately prefer the Xbox design. It's just a simple box. And again, I still think the PlayStation aesthetic is kind of, I don't know, ridiculous was the first word that came to mind. But I do think that there's more potential in terms, you know, yeah, you can slap stickers on the Series X, but it's always just going to be a black cuboid.
Sure.
Yeah. The PlayStation 5, I think, you know, with the kind of the contour design and the fact that that top plate's going to pop off easily, and you can, again, you could easily 3D print or fabricate your own, and third parties are going to get into it. I think you're going to see a lot of really, really inventive and fun custom designs, and I look forward to seeing those.
So overall, Gary Widow, we had the question from Slick on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, and he talks about seeing the inside of the PlayStation 5. That heat sink is sick. I'm excited most to see what we are adding to the storage and not replacing like previous consoles. I'm ordering a 1 terabyte NVMe PCIe 4.0 drive this month to be fully ready for next gen. Then he says, anything inside the console excite you guys? And I think, Gary, to wrap it all up, did you enjoy this walkthrough of the PlayStation 5 today? Like, did it get you more excited for PlayStation 5? Are you just whatever about it? Where to wrap all this up today, where are you at?
Yeah, I'm super excited. I you know, on both sides, every time I see a hands-on impression or a teardown or someone talking about, you know, the new controller or whatever, I get more excited. I told you, I totally have next-gen senioritis at this point. Like, I cannot wait to get my hands on these new consoles. On both of them, I'm equally excited for both. I've got two of each on pre-order, you know, not because I want two of each, but because, you know, I want to have a backup in case. Well, yeah, one of them's going to fall through. And if I do end up getting both, I will find someone who needs one and couldn't get one, and I'll pass it along to them. But no, I'm honestly, November 10 and November 12th can't come soon enough for me. I'm super duper excited to get into both of these. I do genuinely, on both consoles, do genuinely still have real questions about where the hell I'm going to put these things. Because
sure. That's what helped when I look over here. I think I got enough room for PlayStation 5 to sit there.
Where's are you going to take the PlayStation 4 out? Because it'll definitely fit under there.
I mean, yeah, hope on wood, knock on wood, I can take the PlayStation 4 out, and everything I was playing or wanted to play on it will be on PlayStation 5, right? Yeah, and all saves will carry over.
Yeah. And again, there's still so many unanswered questions about how robust the backwards compatibility is going to be. I'm hopeful and confident in the remaining we still got a month to go. Yep. That PlayStation, you know, hopefully they'll start seeding some influencers and press outlets with demo units that we can really start, you know, getting into the guts of it ourselves, doing the testing, seeing how backwards compatible. Like, I'll give you a simple example. Like, on day one, I want to be able to swap out my PS4 Pro for the PS5. And start playing Fall Guys on my PlayStation 5 day one, no hassles. I'm sure that's going to be the case. I don't know for 100% for sure. But you know, and that's why I want to start seeing some journalists and tech bloggers getting their hands on these things and putting the unit through some really robust testing. But yeah, I'm really excited for both.
100%. Before we switch off to this to even bigger PlayStation news, the nanobiologist writes into You're Wrong with a PSA and says, don't buy an SSD for your PlayStation 5 just yet. PlayStation compatibility list for the PlayStation 5, and that list has not yet been released. Not every SSD or NVMe drive will work with the PlayStation 5 at launch. That's a great point.
I would not spend a nickel on expandable storage for the PlayStation 5 yet until Sony comes out with an official list of approved devices. Like, again, anyone from the PC world knows this. Before you buy a component for your PC, you got to go on like PC Part Picker or one of these websites and make sure that the RAM that you're getting or whatever is going to be compatible with your motherboard. There's all kinds of issues. There are going to be those issues here. People are going to run out and buy the wrong kind of storage for their PlayStation 5 because they didn't do the research first. Please wait for it. Please wait for an official list from Sony in terms of what the compatible options are before you buy anything, because you could wind up getting burned.
However, PlayStation 5, complete teardown. Here's all this stuff you'd think would be the biggest news of the day for PlayStation. It is not, ladies and gentlemen. Number two on the Roper Report, PlayStation trophies are changing. Kevin, I have an image for you to show. This is from the PlayStation blog. The first thing you'll notice is the big change to your trophy level. While increasing the trophy level range from the current 1 to 100, we're increasing the trophy level range from the current 1 to 100 level to 1 to 999. This is your level, ladies and gentlemen. This is your level, Gary. So following this update, your trophy level will automatically be remapped to the new level within this new range based on the trophies you've earned to date. For example, if your trophy level is 12, your new level will jump to somewhere in the low 200s. The exact level will depend on the number and grades of trophies you've acquired. There will be no changes to the trophies already earned or trophy information, such as unlock requirements. Then we have breakdowns. New level calculation structure. We've implemented a new trophies level calculation system that is more optimized and rewarding. Players will progress quicker through the early levels, and levels will increase more consistently. Platinum trophies will count more towards your level progression, making them even more valuable. Now we get into this. New trophy level icons. This is what you're looking at. With an expanded level range, we're also updating the trophy level icon on PlayStation 5 as well as PlayStation app at a later date. Currently, the trophy icon is a single gold star, but we're adding a few variants. And as you can see here, bronze is 1 to 299, silver is 300 to 599, 998 is gold, and then platinum is 999, right? Each one of those, with the exception of platinum, is broken down into hundreds, right? So there's different levels to bronzes and silvers, and the icon corresponds to it differently to show you how cool you are and how many cool trophies you have. The icons will also have a subtle distinction, like I just said, to show you which level, how close you are to level. Lastly, just for clarity, trophies you've earned on previous PlayStation systems will come with you to PlayStation 5, just as they have in previous generation transitions. The new trophy levels will be reflected in all locations that trophy levels are shown, including past systems, PlayStation app, and My PlayStation. All of these updates will be automatically implemented on the system side starting later tonight in North America and tomorrow in Europe. Now, if that wasn't exciting enough, ladies and gentlemen, because let me tell you, that is fucking awesome. Nibel on Twitter caught this over on the French PlayStation blog. They had a subhead called Track Your Progress on Your PlayStation 5 Console. On PlayStation 5, you'll be able to track your progress towards individual trophies for compatible PS5 games. For example, you'll sometimes see how many artifacts you have to collect or how many armor upgrades you need before unlocking the trophy. Of course, Xbox has had this all generation. This is something trophy hunters like myself have wanted so badly, and you thought it's a no-brainer that it would be included here. It was in the French PlayStation blog, and then there was an update from Nibel. They've removed the trophy progress tracking bit lol. So it's got to be happening. And they put it up early in French, and they took it down. But it's fucking going on. It is happening. Trophies are getting a new breath of fresh air tonight. And let me tell you, Gary, if you thought I was fucking insufferable about trophies before.
Ooh, oh, I did. Oh, I did.
You ain't seen nothing yet, you British bastard. I got different levels of these things to get to now. Holy fuck. Oh, my God.
So you're excited about this change? You think this is a positive change?
Yeah, it's goofy and stupid, and it's also this first taste of next gen trophies and all this stuff. Yeah, it's a cool idea. Why not? I like, for me, it's this constant thing of like, as somebody who's a high level in trophies, right now I'm level 42 in trophies. Like, that number is cool to see go up, but it goes up so goddamn slowly, and I just don't think about it all that often. I'm more about we celebrate the number of platinums I have, right, with the milestones of that. This thing actually leveling up and then showing it, like, so if I'm a 42, you assume it doubles, so I'll be 84, which will put me into the high, or I'm sorry, that tracks, right? Because if it was 100 before, another whatever, I'm gonna go in, but it doesn't matter. Wherever I am, there's gonna be another level to reach. I'm not gonna be level 999. I'm going to be somewhere probably, what, in the silvers? Does that make sense? So maybe the golds, and then off the another.
I'm surprised, Greg, that you're not going to be automatically top tier, because, I mean,
well, first off, I don't know. I don't officially know. Don't get ahead of yourself. I could be top tier. I don't officially know. But when you, right here, your trophy level's 12. Your new level will jump somewhere in the low 200s. So I'm saying you, like, double it and add a zero, right? So if you double this and add it to zero.
I'm just saying, if not you, who? I mean, I don't know anyone who fucking froths at the mouth about trophies more than you.
Please, well, first off, PS4 trophies.
I mean, don't you go out of your way to play shitty games just because they're easy trophies?
Gary, I sure do. Proud of it, too. No, there's people who like, but like, I also then go play a lot of really great games, and I also then have to go and do shows and stuff and work a job. There's plenty of people who play, like Josh Gravelik, the Platinum Prince, one of the Kind of Funny best friends. He's super into him. Brian from PS4 Trophies on YouTube, maybe even PlayStation PS5 Trophies now. I think he got that name. Like, they're all way more, they're dedicating their lives to platinuming everything and getting everything and going through and having crazier levels and crazier things. It's just one of those. It's for you to look at me and think that I'm like obsessed with trophies. It's just one of those things of like in the land of the blind, the one eye king. You know what I mean? Like, that's what
you're right. I mean, compared to me, I mean, I don't give a flying fuck about trophies or Xbox achievements. They're not something I factor in when I'm calculating my self-worth. I know that for a lot of people, they are a big deal. And I do think they do add value and fun in limited ways to certain games. I just don't understand the mentality of people who will play shitty games or grind really relentlessly boring, fucking monotonous portions of games just to get a gold star. No offense to Kevin. I get it. It's momentarily fun when an achievement or a trophy pops and they go, oh, okay, nice. But like, I'm not obsessively looking up my score. And you're right, like compared to me, who is like at the absolute bottom level of like how much I care about trophies, you seem hardcore to me. But I know that there are people above you who are like, who devote their lives to these things. So to them, you would be considered a lightweight. Right,
amateur hour here. Yeah. I saw on the chat them call it Power Picks. That's another great trophy resource site. Yes, you're right. That is 100% correct. But yeah, it's just that for me, the trophies are just something fun to get. You know that. I think them changing it and making it more dynamic so that there's more of a feeling of ranking up and questing for something is great. And I can't wait to see that be implemented tonight. And I just think that, you know, it's cool to see. You know, you're saying you don't care about it and you're not putting, you don't value your self-worth on it. Some people do value their self-worth. And I'm hoping that, you know, one day there'll be like a company that will give you a loan and they'll take that into consideration. Like,
what like they want your credit score and they want to know how many fucking plats you have. I get it.
Because I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, it's hard to get a loan sometimes, especially when you don't have that much of like a resource or a background. Trophies would be cool, but it'd also be cool if they took into consideration like your education and job history. Hey, everybody.
Oh, sure.
You can get an ad-free version of this show on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. And speaking of ads, Greg Way, let's talk about Upstart. During these economically turbulent times, everyone is looking for a way to feel more financially secure. So if you're still needlessly throwing money every month at high-interest credit card debt, it's time you checked out Upstart, the revolutionary online lending platform that knows you're more than just a credit score. Now is the time to find out how low your Upstart rate can be, help pay off those high-interest credit card debts. Unlike other lenders, Upstart can reward you based on your education and job history, not your trophy level yet, in the form of a smarter interest rate. You don't need a degree or a diploma to apply, though. Upstart lets you skip going to the bank because it's completely online. They offer loans from $1,000 to $50,000, so you can consolidate your debt into one easy fixed rate payment. Upstart makes it fast and simple to check your rate. Since it's just a soft pull, it won't affect your credit score. The hard pull happens after you accept your rate and proceed with your application. The best part? If the loan is approved and accepted, most people get their funds the very next business day. Over 400,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards and meet their financial goals. Free yourself from the burden of high-interest credit card debt and get back to using your money with Upstart. See why Upstart has a 4.9 out of 5 ranking on Trustpilot and hurry to upstart.com/KFGames to find out how low your Upstart rate can be. Checking your rate takes only a few minutes. That's upstart.com/KFGames. Your loan amount will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Not all applicants will qualify for the full amount. Again, upstart.com/KFGames. Up next is Quip. When's the last time you got rewarded for brushing your teeth? With Quip's new smart electric toothbrush, good habits can earn you great perks like free products, gift cards, and more. You've probably heard us talk about Quip a million times. I know you have. I use Quip all the time. Jen uses Quip all the time. Tim uses Quip all the time. What I want you to know is that when I read this ad for the Quip smart electric toothbrush, I actually went on Quip, bought it with my own money, used the code. I think the code's for first timer, so I couldn't use it. But I went and got this thing. It's in the mail, and I'm very excited for it. Why, you might ask? The Quip Smart Brush for adults and kids connects with the Quip app with the Bluetooth. You get to track when and how well you brush, get tips and coaching to improve your habits. But what gets me excited, because it's a lot like trophies, you earn points for daily brushing and bonus points for completing challenges like streaks. You then redeem the rewards, redeem the points for rewards like free products, gift cards, and discounts from Quip and partners. I did this. I am getting it, and I can't wait. If you already have a Quip, you can upgrade with a smart motor, and it keeps the features you know and love. The sensitive sonic vibrations, 2-minute timer with 30-second pulses for a guided clean. It's slim, lightweight, sleek, and there's no wires or bulky charger to weigh you down. Of course, we've talked about this before. You can get floss there. You can get toothpaste there. And no matter what you get, it's delivered every 3 months on the dentist recommended schedule. So you always have the best stuff available. Join over 5 million miles who use Quip and save hundreds compared to other Bluetooth brushes when you get Smart Quip Brush for $45. Start getting rewards for brushing your teeth today at getquip.com/games. Right now, get your first refill free. That's your first refill free at getquip.com/games. GETQUIP.com/games. Quip, better oral health, made simple and rewarding. And then the final sponsor of the day is Brooklinen. You've heard us talk about Brooklinen before. You know I'm Greg Miller, and I only sleep in Brooklinen sheets, and now I only use Brooklinen towels. They are so soft and plush and great. Brooklinen gives your daily routines a little something extra, and with varying levels of plushness, the towel of your dreams is waiting to wrap you up. And with all this extra time at home, it might be nice to invest in a little extra softness and absorbency. It's perfectly fine to stay in your towel all day after you shower, especially if you're not on video calls, or if you are and they just don't show you from below the waist. Kevin, remind me one day, just wear the towel for you. How much I love Brooklinen, and you will too. Brooklinen is the perfect place to find all the comforts of home, including ultra soft towels. They're so confident in their product that everything comes with a lifetime warranty. Use the promo code GAMES for 10% off your first order at brooklinen.com. That's brooklinen.com. Promo code GAMES. Brooklinen, everything you need to live your most comfortable life. Now, believe it or not, Gary, we are still in the Roper Report. And I will tell you ahead of time, this news story is going to be bittersweet for you guys, all right? You and Kevin. Number three, Super Nintendo World is launching this spring in Japan. This is Jordan Olerman over at IGN.com. Kevin, I have an image if you want to toss it up. Super Nintendo World is reportedly now planning to open in spring 2021 at Universal Studios Japan. Pop culture website Kaiju reports that the Super Mario theme park is planning to open early next year. Super Nintendo World was supposed to open in July 2020, but its launch was indefinitely delayed back in June 2020 in the midst of the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. Kotaku's Brian Ashcraft suggests that the opening date for Super Nintendo World may be April 2021 due to the fact that this is when the country is currently considering removing its entry ban for tourists. The Kaiju report also reveals that the Mario Cafe and Store, which will apparently open prior to the official launch of the theme park in its Hollywood Boulevard area, offering Nintendo merchandise and themed food and drinks. Some of the images shown offer a glimpse at the confectionery, including a pancake sandwich shaped like Mario and Luigi's iconic caps, a super mushroom cup, and a set of themed Mario Brothers drinks with cute straws that make it look like you've got the face furniture made famous by the mustache plumbers. Now, Gary, you remember when we first started talking about Super Nintendo World? We got to be in the same room, the same studio. You and Kevin hatched a plan to go there and have Kinda Funny pay for it.
Parts of that are right. I think Gary offered to pay for my ticket.
Yeah,
if we
Kevin,
went.
Kevin, Kevin's, yeah. Kevin's recollection of this is more accurate. And by the way, it still stands. Obviously, we had to kick the can down the road. Greg got to breathe a sigh of relief here because, you know, we let him off the hook. But, you know, you dodged it, but not forever. It's coming. That bullet is boomeranging back around, let me tell you.
That's bullets often do in the wanted universe.
Next spring or next summer, whenever, you know, we all collectively decide that it's safe to do so, I still think we should do it. I think you should put it on the thermometer. You should raise some money.
You
for
want
it
on the thermometer for January.
Trip.
We go to Japan.
And I'm telling you, the offer still stands. I will pay for Kevin's ticket.
All right, let's call Tim Gettys.
Kevin's already fully funded by me.
We'll implant it in Tim's head. Because he's always looking
for
things.
You can prove how serious you are by just granting me a star to just show how much you mean it.
Asking for stars will never get you a star, Kevin.
It's true.
That's what I read online. No. Yeah.
Tim Gettys, it's Greg Miller. You're on Kinda Funny Games Daily. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. So we were just talking about Super Nintendo Land over in Japan, and it reignited the conversation that Gary wants to have us all go to Japan and do videos over there, and that if we do it, he'll pay for Kevin. So then he brought up the great idea that you need to put it on the thermometer for January, because they're thinking about opening in April. So if we put it on the thermometer in January, Kind of Funny goes to Japan, parentheses, Gary pays for Kevin's ticket. I want you to noodle on that.
Okay, I'll noodle on it. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, do you really think that the world will be in a place that we can go to Japan in April?
That's the best part. Think of it this way. You put it on the thermometer, we earn all the money. If it happens in April and we can go to Japan, great. If it doesn't, we got a bunch of free money.
No. That money would just stay there until that money would still be earmarked.
Oh, hold on. No,
Japan.
Sorry. We're live. See, the problem is that right there, my personal banker for Kind of Funny, Gary Whitta Esquire, says that no, the money would have to stay in the account and be earmarked for when we go.
Yeah, you would. That money would be used for that trip, just at whatever point it's safe to go.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
I'm down. I need to go to Japan. I need to go.
Okay. I want you to think about it. Just think about it for the thermometer. Come up, and it doesn't have to be everybody. It could just be. I mean, we can do it right now. We can settle it. It can be you. It can be me. It can be Gary. It can be Kevin. That can be the team.
I'm in.
Okay.
You sold me.
All right. Cool. There you go. So put on the thermometer and figure out how much we got to ask for.
Wahoo.
Okay. All right. Bye.
Let's go.
There you go. Gary. Listen. Even in COVID times, even when Gary can't leave his basement, if you're standing, you're making moves, you're standing still, like the Gary always says.
Now listen, yes, look, we've got to do it. Were Super Nintendo World in California, I'd be saying no fucking chance anyone's going in April, because shit's not going to still. I think we'll be very, very lucky if things are back on their feet by April. That to me is the best case scenario. In Japan and the rest of Asia, they're actually getting this shit under control. There's still an issue of whether or not they'll even let you in from the United States.
Even if they get it under control, I don't think they're gonna be like, all right, come on over, America.
The point is this: at whatever time it is deemed safe and practical to go, you should absolutely go. Like, this is prime Kind of Funny content. There's no doubt in my mind that you will hit whatever thermometer goal you put on there. I've got Kevin covered already. You've simply got to go. There's no scenario where you don't go. It's not a matter of if, but when, surely.
I just love the idea of an international trip with Gary Whitta, Kevin, and Tim. That's going to be shenanigans unto itself, you know?
Oh, I'm not going.
Oh, I'm
paying for Kevin to go as my proxy.
All right, Kevin, we now have a fourth slot. Who are we bringing? Is it going to be Blessing? Is it going to be Nick? Is it going to be Andy? Is it going to be Bear? Is it going to be Joey? Is it going to be Cool Greg? Well, Cool Greg probably won't.
I feel like Blessing will get the most out of it, you know?
I don't think he even likes Nintendo.
Again, you're leaving content on the table here. Surely there should be some kind of contest.
Gary's right. There should
among
be
the
contest.
Kind of Funny team to decide who gets to go.
Well, see, here's the thing is I think we make it into some kind of weird game show. How we'll decide rounds and stuff and physical challenges, but it's actually Gary. It's Gary getting to pick who gets to fill Gary's slot.
Yeah. We get his crown back on. King Gary chooses.
A series of ever-escalating trials and contests in which I am the sole arbiter. This is the kind of content I can get behind. Let's do
number four and final on the Roper Report, ladies and gentlemen. Baldur's Gate 3 looks to be a success. This is James O'Connor over at GameSpot. October 6th marked the early access launch day for Baldur's Gate 3, which follows the 2000s beloved Baldur's Gate 2. And the game is off to a strong start. The new sequel, which was developed by Larian Studios, is currently the best-selling game on both Steam and GOG. It is also available on Stadia. At the time of writing, the game's highest concurrent player count on Steam has peaked at just over 70,000, extremely high for a full-priced early access game. The game's surprise release on Mac has likely driven early sales too. Larian Studios tweeted out about the time of launch that their game seemed to have briefly broken Steam with their sales traffic. Just a short one for you. Congrats to them. Obviously, Baldur's Gate 3, very anticipated. I don't know where I was going with it before. A much loved series. And obviously people have been anticipating this one. So congrats to them.
I've been super excited about it. I've said a number of times that I wanted to play Baldur's Gate 3. Alana and I have been discussing plans to play in the online multiplayer.
Nice. Have you started it yet or no?
I just installed it this morning. I am not going to dive in just yet because Jason Schreier posted some initial impressions that made it sound like they're still having some real issues with bugs and stability type stuff. So my preference would be to wait a little bit for a patch or two and jump in when it's a bit more stable. But it's aside from that, it sounds great. It's just what I want right now.
Good. Gary, what I want right now isn't something that's coming in April. Isn't something that's coming November 12th. I want something I can taste and touch right now. If I wanted to know where the mom and grop shops came to, what the fuck, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software on each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, guys. I started making the Busan coffee, like grinding it here and making, not just getting the cans as an afternoon treat, starting my day with the Busan beans. And let me tell you, it speeds my mind up. And sometimes my mouth can't keep up, but I'm having a great time over here. Out today, Area 86 on Xbox One, Skate Master Techno on Xbox One, Virtual Cottage on PC, and Shmoobity Boo on Switch. I'm not even making that name up.
Shmoobity Boo?
I would go Shmoobity. Shmoobity Boo.
Shmoobity Boo?
Shmoobity Boo.
Shmoobity Boo. We got to pull that one. We have to pull it.
Kevin, pull me a Shmoobity Boo on Switch. New dates for you. The Red Lantern comes to Switch and PC October 22nd. Paradox Vector is slated to end its early access Steam status and officially release on a day that got cut off. Maybe it's today. I'll look into my notes later. And then A Tale of Paper comes to PlayStation 4 October 21st. Blair Witch gets an Oculus Quest edition on Donktober 29th. And then What the Golf comes to Steam on Donktober 22nd.
He's here is
Shmoobity Boo.
Shmoobity Boo.
Shmoobity Boo lands.
Shmoobity Boo. All right. Very cute.
I don't know why
Shmoobity Boo lands. All right.
It's probably okay. Right stuff. Oh, it kind of looks like Super Meepo. Oh, but you're controlling.
Oh, it looks like it might be like a
puzzler. No, it's not.
Like a bullet hell platformer or something.
He's just saying words.
There's a shop.
Okay.
Deals of the day for you. PlayStation Now is adding Days Gone, Medieval, Friday the 13th, Trine 4, and Rad. So if you want to jump on the PlayStation Now train, you can get on that. I know at least Days Gone is through January. I would imagine maybe the others are too, but I could be wrong. And then, Gary, it's time to squad up. This is where one of you writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, why you need help in a video game. I read here, the best friends come and find you, and everybody has fun together. Today, Bilbo Baggins needs help. In what video game? He says Halloween. What's his name? The Ghost of Halloween Present. And then what do you need? He says, so we can help Greg rediscover the spirit of Halloween and the Halloween blazer. I had forgotten about this bit, Gary, but if you remember, in October, for the entire month, I wore the Halloween blazer on Kinda Funny Games Daily, which is at
what,
the studio.
Was that like a David S. Pumpkins kind of thing that you were wearing?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah. It's at the studio, and I will get it for you, Bilbo, and I will start wearing it. I can't promise I'll get to the studio today, but I will get there soonish and get it for you. Next week, guaranteed. Next week, completely guaranteed. Time to find out what we got wrong. Remember, if you're watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, you are supposed to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we got wrong so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later. As usual, mainly people just fucking editorializing, and that's always annoying right here. My favorite is this one where Jake gives me a link to this thing. Is I don't think it's going to be made real, but damn, it looks good. Why would you put that in there? That's not a you're wrong at all. That is you just trying to fucking bring the chat to this goddamn thing. You're wrong is not the chat. You sit over in the chat with Lexi Gunner. Also, Lexi Gunner says, where's the mug, Greg? If you didn't notice, it's Pumpkey 2.0. I have this Pumpkey. Don't worry, there's a Pumpkey. And I've been drinking out of that all October. Nobody's referenced it. Thank you, Lexi, for trying to throw me into the bus, but then I also understand. Gabe Hewitt says, Gary asked about the console volumes. According to Eurogamer, the Series X is 6.86 liters in volume. According to The Verge, the PS5 is 10.5 liters in volume.
How does that work?
I'm bigger is better.
That sounds wrong. I feel like the Xbox, it's got so much more space for volume.
That does not make any sense.
It's a rectangular prism, you know? It's very volume efficient.
That makes no sense at all.
Marley Nito is this. I'm gonna allow it. You know what? I just bitched about this. No, I can't. That's the chat. Sorry. Hit up Kevin on Twitter for your answer.
What did he want?
No, I don't, we're not doing the chat.
Oh, come on, do it for me.
And this is interesting. I hadn't heard this. Murph Dad says, Dengenki Online reported PS5 has no noticeable fan noise in his Oh, no, that is actually what we talked about then. So, no, I know, I've heard that all the... We talked about that before, all the Japan stuff. We weren't wrong about that. You were wrong for not listening to the show. Everybody, here's what I want you to do when you go home tonight. Say hello to your family, make a peanut butter and jelly for the dog. Then you go into your room, you shut the door, you look into your mirror. No lights on, look into the mirror. And you just think, did I handle your wrong correctly? Am I filling it with superfluous bullshit that nobody cares about? And are Greg and Gary talking like, oh man, I really like how the PlayStation's got this white and black motif. And you're like, yes, but red is also a color. Did we need that? You're wrong. We didn't need that. You're wrong. And so it's going to be tough.
I want
you to stand up.
Did you just show up on the internet? This is what it's like. This is the fucking internet.
Greg, I had someone on the internet tell me that black and white aren't colors. They're the absence of colors and all of the colors. And then I yelled at him, explaining that was light.
Freaking welcome idiot. To the internet, where even when you're right, you're wrong.
Ladies and gentlemen, many of you have disappointed. I'm kidding. We got a post show to do over on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. I hope you stick around for it. However, if you don't want to, remember this is Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, podcast services around the globe, no matter where you get the show or consume it. Thank you so much. We love and appreciate you. And until next time, no, it's been our pleasure to serve.
Wait, hold on.
Don't cut, Kevin.
Kevin?
I didn't cut.
Are you there,
Maybe
Kevin?
Maybe that's a gold star performance. You know what I mean? Oof.
Oh, you know what? I was about to give him a gold star for a good show.
I know. It's fine.
He said it, and now he's not getting one.
I didn't want it. You keep your gold star. See what you get. Maybe a donut.
I'm going to fucking keep it.
Bye, everybody.
Wait, no. Gary, do you not have something to say?
I was going to give you a gold star.
I thought you were going to give you a gold star.
I was going to give you a gold star, but then you put your hand out for one, and I retracted it.
The show's over now.